Welcome to Ignite. I'm your host, Vicki Hamilton. This show is about helping leaders spark growth, resilience, and a purpose in their personal and professional lives. Today, we have a treat. Today's guest has a story of survival, transformation, and unshakable belief. Jose Pereira is a best-selling author, international speaker, and executive coach. As the former CEO of Citgo Petroleum, he endured nearly 5 years of wrongful imprisonment as part of the Citgo Six. During that time, faith and resilience kept him going and alive. Today, he's the founder of JoseConnect.com and the Unbreakable Leadership Coaching Program, inspiring executives around the world to lead with courage, empathy, and strength. Jose, thank you so much for being here. And I want to begin with the foundation of your journey. Many of our viewers struggle with feeling lost inside, unsure what they can carry through themselves. What role did faith or inner belief play in keeping you alive and hopeful during your darkest hours? Welcome, Jose.
Well, thank you for having me here. It was a great introduction. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. I am so inspired by you. And I know my audience will be too. You have such a very heartfelt story. So I wanted to ask you, what role did faith or inner belief play in keeping you alive and hopeful?
Well, faith for me today is everything. Everything, everything. You cannot do nothing in life if you don't have faith. Have faith in you and faith, and have faith in the Lord. Both.
Amen.
Both. And I'm going to say something, because in my journey during my captivity, I was not a man of God. First, I was a guy that I was really so focused in my career growth, you know, always climbing the corporate ladder. And I did it great, because I became the CEO of this company, Citgo Petroleum. Citgo Petroleum is the sixth refiner here in the U.S. And I, as an immigrant, becoming the CEO of the company, for me, was a big deal. But during that time, the faith was not there. Everything was because of me. Everything was because I was a, you know, I thought, you know, successful guy, smart guy, full of ego, and that is the old Jose. That is the old Jose. But when this thing happened to me, it was a process. It was a process, because at the beginning, my first feeling was of despair and anger. Why God was doing this to me? A lot of anger at the beginning. But, you know, God operates in a mysterious way. He really operates in a mysterious way. Because during all that journey, that when we begin to see that our family was fighting hard to bring us back, and we begin to see the love that they were putting in what they were doing, and all the support that we were receiving, we begin to have not only faith, we begin to have hope. But the faith begin to grow up, because during those years, we have a reencounter with God. It was something that it was really miracle. And that really boosted our faith. So today I can tell you, to anybody that's hearing this, that faith is something fundamental in any walk of life. Any walk of life.
Oh. You know, when I hear stories like this, especially when it's wrongfully done, and you believe that as you're successful, as you're moving forward, that it's all good, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it becomes something that is very transformative when you go from not believing to believing and having faith. So how do you explain faith to someone who feels empty or disconnected right now?
Faith, remember that the faith is when you believe in that thing that you haven't seen yet. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to believe in yourself. Believe in yourself and identify and discover what is your real purpose. Because sometimes the people are disconnected because they're not walking in their purpose. How many people are not having a business or a job that is not their purpose? That's why the people feel like disconnected. Sometimes even can drive to that burnout. But when you find your purpose, you will feel the passion in what you're doing. You will feel the passion. And no matter what is going to be the circumstance that you're going to be facing, you're going to have faith that you're going to be there. Because now you're looking not where you are today. You're looking where you want to be. So that's what the faith is. And I can say something that today I'm not only a man of faith, I'm a man that have been studying the human behavior. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I had discovered that when you really get focused in what you want, when you really believe it and you pray for it, mm-hmm. and you pray intentionally for it, you begin to transform your reality. And this is something that has even been confirmed by the science. Today, the neuroscience has confirmed that the observer can change what is observed. That means that if you observe something and you constantly are observing and making that happen, it will begin to happen. That will be your new reality. And that is what is the faith. That is the fundamental of the faith.
So, you know, I relate to so much of what you're saying from a faith-based, because I am a faith-based woman. Everything I do is only because of what God gives me the grace and mercy to do. I'm a full believer in that, right? And understanding. But, you know, when you've gone through things, you know, I want to go back to what you said about being angry and being upset. How did you turn that around? What was it about your belief that finally happened and lifted you out of despair so that you could have the ability to continue to face the challenges that you were up against?
Okay, let me put this in context for your audience that maybe don't know my story, but my situation of captivity happened in 2017. I was about that moment the CEO of the company. So I was in the pinnacle of my career after more than 3 decades in the company. So I had all my life working in the company, but I was planning to get retired that year. So now I'm in my retiring mode and I receive a call to go to make a presentation to Caracas, Venezuela, where are the headquarters. And it became to be an ambush because they were having issue between the two countries like it's happening today. Same thing. It was the same administration, by the way. Same administration. So it was the first administration of Trump. And it was heavy. If you see the news today, 8 years ago, was the same news. So now I'm in the middle of that battle and I decided to get retired. So I flew with my 5 top executives to make a presentation and it became an ambush. And we were accused to be American spies. Imagine that, accused to be American spy in a communist regime and throw up in a dungeon. So you begin to have a lot of, emotions and your mind is all over because the other thing is that we were separated, the 6 of us. We were not together. So now I'm alone 24/7 with the light turned on. I lost the sense of time. So you have a lot of time to think and revisit your life. And one of the things that I began to have was, as I said, anger. Because I could not understand why a guy that has been always successful, that was in the pinnacle of my career, this happening to me. So I was asking God, why you did this to me? So that was my first reaction. I was in a denial process. I was in an anger process. And I began to have even suicidal thoughts. So I was in the worst of the moment. But you know, God operates mysteriously, as I said, because one day after month being there. One day they opened the door and they asked me to go to a room that somebody's going to visit me. And when I go there and somebody opened the door, it was my wife. So my wife took that risk to visit me. And I have, you know, encountered emotions. I was happy. I was surprised. And I was scared that she was there. And she told me that it was okay because now I understood what was happening. So the U.S. government was working hard to bring us back. It began to be a lot of issue between the two countries. They recalled the two ambassadors. So they needed to have a point of contact. And it began to be my wife. So my wife was authorized to travel in a secure environment, and she came to visit me. So she came with a message, and she brought back the message that they wanted to begin to negotiate.
Oh,
so that gave me,
God.
that began to give me hope. I begin to have hope, but also I begin to feel that I needed to be strong for my family.
Yes.
Because that moment, I already had 31 years married. So
yes, congratulations on that.
Yeah, I'm going to have 40 years this December. I'm going
to
have
40
years. All
right, now you're going to have to get some secrets about that. We're going to have you back on the show so you can talk about how to keep a marriage together for 40 years.
Okay, we're going to have 40 years
this
December.
That. Well, Jose, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And to the audience, this is a great lead-in as to what's coming up next. We'll talk about how trauma, instead of breaking us, can become the very testimony that empowers us and moving forward. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ignite. Are you loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Ignite or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. You can download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming, yes, in both English and Spanish. Now, for those of you that prefer to listen on the go, don't worry. We've got you covered. Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv, where from business to breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. So let's get back. I'm here with Jose Perea, and who is sharing not only his survival story, but the powerful lessons it gave him. And so in this segment, we'll explore how the trauma can be transformed into testimony and a message of healing and hope that can change the lives. So, Jose, how did you turn your story of trauma into a message that now helps others?
Well, that's a great, great question because, you know, in life, when you're going through any situation that creates a trauma, there are two ways you can face this thing. You can do it in a positive way or you can do it in a negative way. So that when you go to the negative ways, when the people get there and the trauma and suffer and become a victim. But when you do it in a positive way, you transform your trauma in a purpose, and then you're not a victim, you're a victor. So when I came back, I began to have trauma issues. I began to have PTSD events, but I began to study my story. I began to have therapies. I went to Trauma Recovery Center, and I begin to understand the process. And I discovered, because I got connected to the hostage community here in the U.S., and we begin to connect with all the family that have been through this situation in other countries, or some family that still have their parents there. And they begin to see me like a beacon of hope for them. And literally I begin to coach some of them, and I said, Oh, I can really use this in a powerful way. So what I did that I combined my survivor experience that I got, that I began to study, things that we did there, with my leadership experience that I had during my 30 plus year in the oil and gas. So I combined it and I created a coaching program that is today my coaching program that is called the Unbreakable Leadership Coaching Program. Why unbreakable? Because I understood, remember, and you're a woman of faith, we are creatures of God. We are made as his image. So we have that inner force inside us, but you need to unleash it. And the only way to unleash it is getting the connection within. And there's where you unleash your all what you have inside. So you can do things that you cannot imagine. You can make possibles the impossibles. That becomes a superpower. And this is that part of the thing that today I teach, how you can discover your unbreakable leadership spirit that everybody has inside. Everybody.
You know, it's so true, you know, and the power of seeing what God can do for you is something that it's like a testimony that's like, come on, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you too. And to that point, I'd love to get your perspectives on why do you believe sharing your story is healing, not only for them, but for you?
Of course, when I decided to share my story, I had my therapist, by the way, that I talk every week with her. We become very good friends. And by the way, she's going to support me in the foundation that I'm creating. She's going to be one of my supporters. She's a trauma recovery expert. So Daisy and I, her name's Daisy, talking a lot, she always told me that. Because I decided to speak, I created a speech about this. I wrote my book. I have been in interview. I'm going to be a TV host in No Media Now. Many things that I decided to talk and talk and talk. I did a testimony in Thanksgiving in my church in a crowd of 1,000 people. So all these things have create me that I really, really can heal others, but heal myself. I can heal myself.
So, can you describe how courage grew when you first started feeling your testimony?
Oh, it's incredible, incredible. For me, for example, that day, Thanksgiving last year, I was going to the church because we were going to have a big celebration in my church. As I said, around 1,000 people. And I was preparing to go to my church, and my pastor called me a last minute and he said, "Hey, Jose, you're coming to the event?" "Yes, of course, Pastor." And said, "Okay, I didn't tell you before, but I want you to come to the stage to tell your testimony. Are you willing to do that?" "Of course, Pastor." I was not prepared, but I came to the stage, I saw the big crowd, and giving my testimony in Thanksgiving. Oh, wow, that was incredible. So there was a lot of people crying, laughing, clapping. It became a joyful moment because everybody got identified. It was the perfect moment. I was giving thanks to God in a Thanksgiving. What a beautiful moment to do your testimony. Today, going to any stage that I go today, I can see the faces of the people. I can see the smile in the faces of the people. I can see the tears of the people. And that gave me joy because I'm touching souls. I'm touching souls.
Wow. Well, Jose, what fears did you have to overcome to speak out about what happened? You know, we all have fears at points. What did you have to overcome to even get to this point?
I can tell you, Vicky. I'm today fearless. I really, I are so connected to what I do and really believe that I'm walking with the grace of God because this has become a calling for me and I'm doing it because of him, not because of me. I don't see fear. I feel his joy. You can be in I have been in stages with 7,000 people, You know, in a stadium with 7,000 people, see the crowd there, and you have sometimes a little fear. But when you think that you're doing this because you're giving your testimony that's going to impact others, there's no more fear. There's courage. There's no more fear.
Amen to that. You know, it's one of those things that when you've been brought through the storm, you know, sharing that story and testimony is something else, because you know what the other side can look like.
Correct.
And I think it's just phenomenal that you're willing to open up and share your story, because as both of us know, God asked us to share our testimonies with others so that they will continue to believe and know what we have come to learn and know.
Correct.
So, Jose, how can leaders and entrepreneurs use their own life story to create impact?
Well, that's a great question. Storytelling is the best way that you can make impact. So any leader that really wants to get connection with their people, with their employees, with their clients, is sharing the testimony how he got there. People love to hear good stories. The encourage a story. People that have that, I'm here today because I went through these and that, but I'm here today. So the people joy that really inspire the employees, inspire the client, and you become a great leader because now you're an inspiration to others.
You know, and it's something that, you know, as you know, being a coach and sharing stories and connecting with people is so important. And the thing that is so interesting is it can be lonely at the top. And there are times when leaders need that connection too. The time to be authentic, the time to be vulnerable, the time to really sit and think about what they're truly going through. It's as one of my favorite sayings, people always see the glory, but they don't always know the story. So Jose, for those who want to continue learning from your journey, where can they follow you online?
I have my webpage that is joseconnect.com. It's very easy, joseconnect.com. My webpage is a hub where you can find everything. If you want to know about my coaching, there is a page of the coaching. If you want to contract me to speaking, you can see my speaking there. I have my own podcast. I have my two books because I wrote my book From Hero to Billion in English, in Spanish, and in Bengali. It's today in Bengali. I'm going to have a call tomorrow with 7 publishers that want to publish it in the India, in Pakistan. It's beginning to be read there. Has been read by thousands of people in those countries. So my book is Healing Souls and Converting Souls to the Christianity because of my book. I could never imagine that. So you can find anything related to me there. As I said, I became also a host in the Spanish version of Now Media, and I have my own podcast. So you can find everything there in my webpage, joseconnect.com.
Well, I'm going to tell you, people definitely need to tune in, need to go to your website and check you out. This is phenomenal. So up next, we're going to look at why passing on wisdom matters and how leaders can inspire the next generation with their story. We'll be right back.
Give me a chance.
Welcome back to Ignite. You know, if you've missed earlier parts of this show, you definitely want to go back and listen. We've been diving into resilience, testimony, and faith with Jose Pereira. Now we're shifting to an important question. Does your story really matter? Many people wonder if they have anything worth passing on. Jose believes your experience may be exactly what the next generation of leaders need. So, Jose, why do people believe it's important to share lessons with the next generation?
Well, you're making a great question because you're talking something that is called a legacy. And I believe that when you really have a purpose, that you really feel that that the purpose of your life is something that is going to transcend, you're going to leave your legacy. Today, for me, the legacy to my grandsons is everything. I'm for example, I'm in the middle of the creation of my own nonprofit, and I have an ambition that is to see my grandson in the future running it. I the other day I talked with him, he has 8 years. I was telling Martin, I see you in the future running this thing. And he was so touched that he began to cry, you know. So he really believed it. So I touched his heart. He's going to do it. So that's going to be my legacy. Because you have to do things with a purpose in a way to understand that you need to leave a legacy in this world. And this is what I'm trying to do today.
You know, I so respect that. You know, I talk about generational wealth and I talk about leaving things for the next generation as we move forward. And there's one thing as a grandparent, when you have those grandchildren and you see the art of the possible for tomorrow with the kind of leaders they can be, it just gives you strength that you really want to strive to make sure that next generation, your family and others, truly are able to see what they can do and where they can be so that you're preparing them for that journey forward. What impact do you hope your story will leave for young leaders around the world?
Well, this is something that today I'm trying to do because I'm talking to college and universities. Mm-hmm. And when I go to speak in the college and the universities, I also do master classes. And one of the master classes that I do, by the way, I use this book for the master class that is called Unbreakable Leadership. So I make them, it's a workbook. But there is a section where I ask them the question. I randomly begin to tell them, pointing them, what you want to be in the future? What you want to be in the future? And you get caught off guard and they randomly begin to tell you what they want to be. I remember one day I pointed a guy and the guy told me, I want to be one of the 10 best surgeons of this country. But he told me that with so much confidence that I told him, so I prophesied that you're going to be. So that guy really got so touched that he was looking to take photo with me. And then he called me and he told me, never nobody has talk with me so much confidence. And I told him, because I saw that you believe in yourself. So when you talk to a kid that they're thinking like that, wow, you say, okay, so this is the generation that is going to lead this country. So that really gives you a lot of strength, you know?
You know, that those are such beautiful stories and testimonies, especially when you are working for that purpose, to actually strive to help others and and to see them to move forward. Mm-hmm. And you know, mentoring and speaking and all of that has an impact on the audience who's receiving it, who's hearing it, who's reading it, etc. So how do you believe all this mentoring and speaking you're doing is helping you heal within your own journey with all the trials and tribulations you've been through?
Well, for me, it has been fundamental in my healing process. As I said, my therapist, I have no problem saying that I talk every week with her. We are friends today. And she always emphasizes that I have healed much faster than another patient that she had because I decided to be unapologetically open to talk about this. Not only talk about my healing, talking how God restored me, because this is the other thing that I talk openly about my faith, how really God restored me, and I'm here because of Him.
And you said one of my favorite words, unapologetically. Yeah. You know, when we own it, we believe it, we live it, we share it. We are truly unapologetic for who we are. Yeah. And you know, that takes a lot of growth and continuous learning, right? You get faith, you see things happen, but you're continuously wanting to get closer and closer to God and wanting to learn more and more so you can have bigger impacts on the world.
Correct.
And so it's one of those things, it's just like, oh, I'm making it happen. So with that being said, how do everyday people, whether they're parents, teachers, or business owners, be a role model to others?
Well, because when you really believe in yourself, as I said, when you find that what you're doing is your real purpose, you begin to feel passion for what you do, and that passion that people can feel it. This is something that is energetic, because remember, we are energy. Oh, we are, and I'm gonna go back again to the neuroscience, because for me, it's incredible how neuroscience today confirmed what the Bible always said. And
Yes.
when you are in a mode that you are doing what you really love to do, you are creating that vibe, that energy, that when you and anywhere you go, you transmit that. That's why people sometimes are so energetic that they cut the attention on the people, because you are vibing in that mode. And there is something important. You have to take care of that. If you get connected to people that has bad energy, it can drain your energy. So yeah, that's true. That's true. So you have to connect to the right people. This is another recommendation, that people have to connect to the right people. You have to connect with the people, not only the right people, the people that trust you, that believe in you. So there's the way that you create your own atmosphere, and you have to care of that atmosphere, because that's what you're going to be carrying, your atmosphere. And that's going to inspire others, of course.
Jose, you are so right. And I'm sitting here thinking about creating that circle around you that allows your light to continue to shine. And I think one of the biggest lessons that I had to go through in life is as you grow, everybody doesn't grow with you. Sometimes you have to make changes. And who's in that circle and why they're in that circle. Because growth and keeping that positivity, that light, that faith, that vision, the thing that says, I'm doing my purpose, I'm doing what I want to do, and God is not going to leave me. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to have challenges. No. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have hard times. No. But the irony of it is that the more I have that faith and belief, I know he'll walk me through it. So I couldn't agree with you more. What final message of hope would you give someone who feels like giving up today?
I'm going to say something here. I'm going to show this band. I carry this band since I was in captivity. One day, when the day my wife visited, gave it to me, and he says, "Never give up." So for me, never give up, it became my motto, because no matter what circumstance you're going through, and you said it very well, adversities always will be there. A valley will come when you are not expecting it. That is what life is. But when you're walking in your purpose, and when you're walking with the grace of God, and you're walking in your faith, no matter what circumstance you're gonna be having, you're gonna keep going, because you have a dream and you're gonna pursue that dream. So my recommendation to anybody is, never give up. If you
I love that.
fall, stand up and continue going. Fall, stand up and continue going. If you can run, run. If you can walk, walk. If you can crawl, crawl, but keep going. Never give up.
I love that, and I'm gonna have to steal that from you and say it was Jose saying of never giving up, because I think it's so important that we leave with that positivity. And allowing that faith to ground us, that gives us the ability to say, just keep, don't give up, just keep going, right? And believing that. So coming up in our closing segment, Jose will share how hardship can shape leaders into more compassionate and empathetic people. We'll be right back. Come on back and join us on the next segment. Welcome back to Ignite. Are you loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Ignite or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows. Live on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and in Spanish. Now, for those of you that prefer to listen on the go, we got you covered. Catch the podcast version of the show right on Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between. Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Now, for those of you that are joining us for this final segment, we're focusing on leadership quality that's often misunderstood: empathy. Some see it as a weakness, but Jose Pereira believes empathy, especially after hardship, is one of the strongest tools a leader can have. So with that, Jose, how do you experience deepen your ability to lead with empathy?
You know, I always mention that when situation is normal, anybody can be a leader. it's, you know, anybody. But when you're pushed from your comfort zone, when you're going to a situation that is unexpected, when that floor is moving, is where you're going to be tested if you're a true leader or not. And I was tested because we were going into an incredible situation in, you know, we were like living in a hell. But we were six guys and we decided to cheer each other. And one of the most important things was having empathy, understanding the other, because we were in like a living in a cage during years. So the empathy became to be part of our survival way to do things, because if somebody was depressed because that happened or was having a bad moment, maybe he could say something, you know? So you understood the other. You tried to be in the shoes of the other, and we keep moving and cheering each other. And this is what today I tell to any leader, if you're in your business, because this you can mirror in your business. Mm-hmm. Why the people get in a leadership position and loses contact with the people, miss the empathy, understanding the other. And this is so important that you know, not only the other, understand the other, put in their shoes, and understanding why they're coming that way. You can have a good manager, but he's having a hard time. Mm-hmm. And you have enough empathy with him, you can understand him and maybe help him. So the empathy is so important in any leadership today, because it's a superpower.
I completely agree with that. It is a superpower, and not everyone knows how to do it.
Yeah.
And with that being said, you know, as leaders, we are always taught it's about the results. You got to get the results. We're in business to make money. That's why we're here. If we don't make money, you can't do things. How do you believe leaders need to care more about people and not just those results?
Let me tell you something. By the way, I'm connected to a group that is called Conscious Capitalism. And one of the fundamentals of the group is that studies that have been done, serious studies has been done, those companies that have more connection with their employees, they're more empathetic for the employee, are the most successful company. So there's a direct correlation between the empathetic environment in your business and your growth. So that means that, that is totally connected to your growth. So it's like a no-brainer. If you treat, because it's gonna put you more money in your pocket at the end, you know. So it's not that, oh no, because if I'm empathetic or I'm vulnerable or the employees are not gonna take me serious and then they're not gonna work. No, it's in the contrary. You're gonna inspire them. You're gonna be a role model. They're gonna follow you. They will love where you they're doing. They're gonna give you the extra mile. Because then they see the company like their company. So
exactly.
that's what that does. And that did, well, what is the result? A better place to work and more successful, more money.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And the more people, more employees that feel like it's a part of my company, it's part of what I need to do, the more dedication and time and motivation they're willing
Correct.
To do.
Correct.
Can you share a moment when empathy made the difference in a very hard situation?
Oh, well, in my captivity. For me, being empathetic became a cornerstone of our survival because we were leaving, to your audience, we were six guys during 5 years living in a 100 square foot place. Three bulk bed, a tiny restroom, and a table with one chair. And we lived there and stayed there for months without going to the fresh air. So we stayed days, months inside that cage. So we needed to be empathetic with the other. And let me tell you, we became kind of really good friends. We were talking about family. We were talking about our thing that we, three of us were big rock fans. We were all day talking about rock bands. And then we were talking about food, our travels. We begin to play domino. We begin to pray and read the Bible on a daily basis because we understood everybody. So that's what the empathy does. That is what the empathy does.
Wow. And you know, you're right. When you're in those kinds of situations, you have to find those mechanisms to survive, those mechanisms that are going to keep you going. And the fact that you all were able to help each other and have empathy for each other, you know, especially when you talk about we didn't get to go outside for weeks. I mean, who can imagine in terms of doing that? How can leaders practice empathy without feeling like I'm losing all my authority?
Well, because that's a mistake that people sometimes think that if you are too empathetic or you're vulnerable with employee, you're going to be like weak. So, but that is a total mistake. There are scientific studies that create a more close relationship, and that people begin to see you more like a role model. And there are a lot of studies about that. There is a somebody that's, by the way, she's from here, from Houston, Brené Brown. Brené Brown, she has a study about the vulnerability. And Simon Sinek, there are many studies about this, that empathy and the vulnerability are part of the secret sauce of being a good leader.
You know, I love Brené Brown. I mean, it's, you know, that you're right. There are so many people that have really practiced that empathy, and you start to see the trajectory of their growth, not just the trajectory of the growth of where they're working or what they're doing, but, you know, empathy allows us to be able to relate to others. You know, I have this saying with a favorite radio station. It's called WIIFM. What's in it for me? When you are thinking about talking to someone, why are they responding the way they're doing? What is driving them? What is it that they need? What are they missing? And it's a way to begin to understand, how can I give empathy to this person based upon where they are and what they're going through? And recognize their story is unique. It's not my story. And so being able to have that ability to see each other is just so, so important. Mm-hmm. Jose, what's one way our viewers can show more compassion in their leadership today?
being more vulnerable, being humble, being people, trying to be more people. You know, one of the most mistake that people that are in CEO position do is that they see like they're like a superpower, you know, and they begin to isolate themselves. You know, they create like a shield, and they get disconnected with the people, and there's where the people begin to get lost. So the leader really has to be humble, has to be, you know, had to be people. I always say one of the most impactful leadership model of the world was Jesus.
That's right.
And he was, who was Jesus? Why the people, why he created the impact he created? I always say that those people, that those leaders that have been having that connection, being people, are those that transform the world, that leave the legacy. If not, thinking in Gandhi, thinking Nelson Mandela, thinking Jesus. So those are the models, the people that will follow forever.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jose, this has been incredibly valuable. Where can people follow your work and continue the conversation?
Well, you can go to my webpage, joseconnect.com. In my webpage, you will find, I had the opportunity, I wrote my book, as I said, this is the book in English, and I had the book in Spanish, so I had the both version. And I recently wrote this book that is called Unbreakable. This is a workbook. These are leadership tools based on biblical principles, because the Bible has everything. All the answer to be a good leader, you can find it in the Bible. You can find a lot of examples how to be an empathetic leader, a good communicator, a strong leader that is inspiring people, because you can find the pattern, the people that went through a lot of things in their life, but they have the faith and they succeed. So they went through the adversity and they thrive. So the Bible is the tool, and that's what I put here in this book. My webpage, Jose Conet, you can find everything. If you want to contract me for a speaking engagement, you will see there. If you want to have my book, you will find it there. If you want to have my coaching program, you will have it there. If you want to be in my podcast as a guest, you will be there. If now I'm in my TV show also, there's going to be in Spanish. So everything is in my webpage, joseconnect.com.
Well, thank you so much, Jose. Thank you for sharing your courage, your wisdom, and humanity with us today. Your journey shows us that faith can keep us alive. Trauma can become our testimony, and our stories can inspire others, and that true leadership is built on empathy. For our viewers, I encourage you to reflect on the lessons we've heard today. Leadership isn't about being unbreakable. It's about finding strength through struggle and lifting others up along the way. I'm Vicki Hamilton, and this has been Ignite. Until next time, remember, the spark of leadership lives in you, waiting to inspire those around you.